Zechariah chapter 13, we'll start reading in verse 7, read down through verse 9. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And the thought that I want to try to bring to you is out of that verse 9 there, that phrase, those three words about through the fire. And I want to try to preach on through the fire this morning, if the Lord will help me. If you'll notice there, and talking about his people, he said, I will bring the third part through the fire. And you know, when we get saved, I know Jack was telling me in the car the other day, he said, I guess the devil won't be able to bother me anymore. And I said, no, I said, you know, he still will bother you, you know, but you know, you'll have the Lord with you. And I don't remember what all I said, but just taking the thought process from Jack is that he had felt like the devil had, you know, maybe hindered him from trying to get saved, and maybe kept him, tried to talk him out of it or whatever. And then he got saved, and he thought that the devil wasn't going to bother him anymore. But that's not the case, you know. When we get saved, all our problems are not over. Now, our number one problem is over. Our main, most important problem is over, that we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven. We're going to get to go to heaven, not have to go to hell. But all of our problems in the flesh are not over. And I don't know that the devil don't work as hard after we get saved as he does before we get saved. But in this case that we're reading about here, it's not necessarily even the devil that we're talking about. This is actually the Lord saying, I will bring the third part through the fire. And so the Lord himself brings us through the fire and allows us to go through things that we might not have ever thought we'd have had to go through. And so I want to try to preach on that, if the Lord will help me on this thought through the fire. But when you think about this, I want to try to break it down into three parts. When you think about through the fire here, and he said, I will bring the third part through the fire. He is the one sometimes that brings us into the fire. And when we see that coming, and when we realize that, sometimes we'll be surprised with our sufferings. Sometimes the Lord will surprise us with our sufferings. And, you know, there's things that we never expected to go through, as I said, but for some reason, you know, that was in the Lord's plan. The Bible said the Lord directs our steps. And, you know, sometimes he directs our steps in a place that we didn't want to necessarily go, or a place that we wouldn't have chosen to go. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. When he takes us through the fire, we probably never would have chosen that route on our own. But the Lord is the one that's the author of the book. Now, we've got some amount of will in our own life to where we can do that is our will. But then there's some things that are just unavoidable, that God brings us through, and it don't matter. We can kick and scream and holler, but we got to go through it. They just ain't no way around it. And, you know, as I look out across the congregation today, or think about it, and just think about all the different things, and Brother Lawrence made mention of it this morning in his devotion, the different health problems and just the different things that just the people in this room that have been through. And somebody might have said, well, why would the Lord let his people go through things like this? And we don't always understand, but I do know that he's got a good reason in allowing us to go through what he does. He said in Peter, he said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. Don't be caught totally off guard. I realize I said it surprises us, but we've got to understand the Bible said it's impossible, but that offenses will come. There's going to be things that happen and things that happen that we wouldn't necessarily have wanted to happen. He said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, he said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so here Peter is writing something very similar here in regard to New Testament Christians, how that the Lord will allow us to have a trial of our faith. But that trial of our faith is more precious than gold. As we read in Zechariah here, he likened it to silver being refined and to trying them as gold is tried. But Peter said that the trial of our faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it'll surprise us sometimes the things that we go through, but there are things that happen, and we think of different people in the Bible, and the Bible is just full of saved people or good people, God's people in the Old Testament that had to endure things. And I thought about Job and all that he went through, and right at the very beginning we find out about Job that he was a man the Bible said was perfect and upright in his generations. He did good and he eschewed evil, and I mean he was the kind of person that he ought to have been in the time that he was living in, and he did from what we could tell just about the best that he could do. But one day that Satan presented himself before the Lord and told the Lord that Job is serving him for naught, said you've got a hedge about him. And the Lord allowed the devil to go in and attack Job's life and allowed him to go through the fire, so to speak. And you know how that not only did he lose his possessions, he lost his material goods, his possessions, his animals and all of those things of which he had many, but he also lost his children, and so in the end he even was stricken with boils on his flesh, and he just got so low that his wife even told him. She said, "Do you retain your integrity?" She said, "Just curse God and die." But he said, "You speak as one of the foolish women." He said, "We've received good at the hand of the Lord." He said, "And shall we not receive that that's evil?" But he said, "The Lord hath given, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord." And the Lord in Job's life was still God. And whether or not Job held his integrity or whether he let it go, that statement still would have been true. He was God. He had given and he had taken away. But he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." I thought about the three Hebrew children. I'm running through these familiar stories just quickly to get on, but just to kind of show us the people and the kind of people that God allowed to suffer and allowed to go through the fire. And you think about the three Hebrew children that were taken captive from their homeland and brought into Babylon. Not only were they taken out of their homes, and their family, a lot of folks had been killed, their homeland destroyed, taken to a far country. But then one day the king had an idea that he would make a golden image, and he would bring all of the high people together in the kingdom and cause all of them to bow down to that image when the music was played. And so they were there also, and they didn't want to bow down to that idol God. They didn't want to bow down to some golden image. They knew that was against God's will, that they shouldn't have any other gods before the Lord. And so they decided that they wouldn't bow down. But when they made that decision, of course, the king said that if you don't bow down, I'm going to play the music one more time. And if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And so they played the music again, and the three Hebrew children, as we call them, they just kept standing. I think they were probably about grown men, but they were the children of God. They kept standing. Actually, as a matter of fact, they told him, they said, "We're not even careful to answer thee in this matter." They said, "King," they said, "We know that our God can deliver us out of the fiery furnace, but
Whether he does or whether he don't, we're not going to bow down to this golden image that you've set up. And so he even heated the fire up hotter than it ever was supposed to have been heated, and had his strongest men to throw them into fire. And they went into the literal fire. I'm preaching kind of a symbolic fire, but they went into the literal fire, bound and tied up. And so they threw them in. But when he looked back in there, he said, "Didn't we throw three men in?" He said, "But I see four loose walking." And but what I was trying to get at is he allowed them. We might have thought the Lord would have stepped in before they ever got to that point. They might have been looking to see whether or not the Lord was going to step in, but he let them tie them up, and he let them give the decree, and he let the strong men come forth. Still, the Lord hadn't done anything yet. He got them walking towards that fiery furnace. Still, the Lord didn't do anything yet. And somebody might have said, right here at the very last, before he throws us in, God is going to come on the scene and not make us go through the fire. But the Lord brought them through the fire. He allowed them to be thrown in. You take Mary and Martha over there, and thinking about their brother was sick, and they sent to Jesus to come. And in verse 5 of that chapter, I believe it's verse 5, he said, "Now Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus." But then it said in verse 6, said he waited and stayed in the same place 2 days. And so it let us know that he loved them, but yet for some reason he waited 2 days in the same place before he started going to where they were. He was allowing Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And sometimes we just think about Mary and Martha in this part because they lost their brother. But think about Lazarus. He was the one that was actually laying there sick and hoping that God was going to show up. But he allowed them to go through what they did. He didn't get there before Lazarus died. He actually got there after Lazarus died, 4 days later than what it had happened. And so all of that time they're thinking, "The Lord, maybe he's going to get here. Maybe he's going to show up. Surely before this thing happens, God's going to show up." But never did. He didn't show up until way after the funeral. He didn't show up. But he was allowed them to go through the fire. Now, there was reasons for all of this. We find them out later on in it. And it wasn't all about Mary and Martha. And it wasn't all about Lazarus. But what I'm telling you right now is that he brings us into the fire, and he surprises us sometimes with the things he allows us to go through. I've been surprised in my life. I haven't been through what many of y'all have been through. But I've been surprised. It wasn't a few years ago, and I was hurting in my stomach a little bit. It wasn't nothing major, but I didn't think. It was hurting me a little bit. I went on to work, kept on going, and finally got a fever, and so got where I got down a little bit, but I still could take Tylenol and function, and went to the doctor, and they thought I had some kind of virus. He gave me an antibiotic just in case, and anyhow, the fever was still there the next day, and some friends had said, "I think you ought to go back to the doctor and get this checked out." They knew of a lady that had died because of something similar. And finally went back and basically begged him to do a CT scan of me. And he didn't think he ought to, and found out my white levels was up to 15. And they sent me over there and did the CT. And not only did I have something going on, I had a perforation, small perforation in my large intestine. Well, I didn't have no clue. I mean, I thought that I was just something small. I was surprised when I heard that. I really was. I was surprised, and then I wound up having to go. I had never been in the hospital. I had been to visit many people. And I mean, Daddy was a pastor growing up, and I'd go with him to visit people. I've been with Brother Cook. I've been by myself. I mean, I'd just been visiting people in the hospital. That was even a blessing sometimes, you know, just to feel like you could go and be an encouragement to somebody in the hospital. But then all of a sudden, there I was, the one with something that I was afraid could even have been deadly to me. And I mean, I was surprised by it. And it wasn't nothing like what some's been through, but just for me, I was surprised. They told me Mama had Alzheimer's. I was surprised with that. I didn't want Mama to have to go through that at this young age, and me to be facing losing Mama. I didn't want to have to deal with that. Here I am, 37, and I see other people's moms, and they're so sharp and everything, and I knew how Mama used to be. And sometimes there's just things the Lord brings us through. But let me get to my second point. Not only does he bring us into the fire, he's with us in the fire. And what a blessing that is tonight. You know, I didn't tell you that part where I heard. I could hear that doctor in the other room. And I could hear him telling my doctor, it was the one that had done the CT scan. They held me there. I was waiting, and I could hear, and I heard that word, perforation. I didn't hear all of the things, but I had done been on the internet. You just got to know the kind of person I am. And I had done been on the internet and reading all kind of things, and I knew and that a big perforation was a pretty much immediate surgery. I mean, you could die. You had a real good chance of dying. And thankfully, mine was a micro perforation. But all when I heard that word perforation, I mean, there was just an anxiety kind of thing came over me. But you know, right before I heard that man in there talking on the phone, and I may have been looking at it while I heard it, there was somebody posted this chapter and verse in Deuteronomy. And I just went over there on my phone, on my app, on my Bible, and I wished I could tell you exactly what the verse was. But basically what it said is, "Fear not, for I am with thee." And then right about that time I heard that word, him telling that other doctor that I had this perforation. Well, I didn't hold on fast to that Bible verse, but as I got through the fire, eventually I looked back and I realized that the Lord gave me that really right when I needed it, and I didn't hold on to it like I should have, but I realized that while I was in the fire, he was with me. You know, the same thing was true in Job's life. It didn't look like God was with him when he was going through all of those things, but you know, in the background, God was setting a limit on what the devil could do. He always told him, he said, "You can't touch Job." And then at the end, he said, finally the devil said, "Well," he said, "if you'll let me touch him," said, "then he'll curse you to your face." He said, "You can touch him, but spare his life." And the Lord was with him in the fire. He probably didn't feel like it. If you read that, and you go back and read that entire book of Job, and you just see what he went through and what his friends, how they did him. And I mean, he got to the point of wanting to question God. He wanted there to be a middleman so that he could talk to the Lord. He knew enough to know that he was afraid, but he got to the point to where he wanted to question the Lord. But he never did curse the Lord, and he never did charge him foolishly with his lips. But the Lord was with him in the fire. Same thing with the men that got thrown in. We said, "Lord, why didn't you come in there before they threw them in the fire?" Well, the good news was he did bring them into it, but when the king looked over, he said, "I see four men loose walking in the fire, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God." Like unto the Son of God. And then Mary and Martha, the other one that I mentioned, and there's a bunch of these, and you could go through, and each person could testify of how God was with them. Ain't no doubt, you've got stories. I've learned that people have times in their life where they say, "The Lord, I wouldn't have made it had it not been for God. God gave me peace when I shouldn't have had peace. You know, when there really wouldn't have been no reason to anybody to have peace, but God gave you peace." I mean, there's a lot. But Mary and Martha, there they were, and they thought the Lord wasn't there. You know, I've wondered, did they not know that the Lord could have spoke the word? He didn't have to be there, did he? You know, he could have spoke the word. One of the men said, he said, "I'm not worthy for you to come into my house." He said, "Speak the word only, Lord, and my servant shall be healed." And he was amazed at the faith that man had. You know, Mary and Martha, of course, the Lord was doing what he was doing for God's glory anyway. But he didn't even have to be there. He could have spoke the word. It wasn't about him being there physically. But he was with them more than they thought, because he knew exactly what was going on. He told his disciples, he said, "Lazarus is asleep, but said, I go that I might wake him." And they said, "Lord," said, "if he's asleep, he's doing good." And he said, finally, he told them plainly, he said, "Lazarus is dead. But he said, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there to the extent that you may believe." And he had told them at the very beginning, when they first told him that Lazarus was sick, what did he say? He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God might be revealed." He was with them all the way through it. See, the Lord orchestrated what was going on in their life. I think they probably thought that some kind of thing had hit them and they just needed God to swing in there and fix it all. But in actuality, the Lord was bringing them through the fire. He was bringing them through it. But he was with them more than what they realized. He had his eye on the situation. And when the time come for him to leave and to go and be there, he knew exactly when to show up and knew exactly when to leave. And so there we go then. As I said, he's with us in the fire. But here's the last part here. He said, I will bring the third part through the fire. He brings us out of the fire. He don't leave us in there. You take silver, as he talked about, being refined, and gold being tried. When you put silver and gold to the fire, you don't do that to destroy it. Nobody does that so that they could ruin the gold or ruin the silver, but only to purify it and to make it better and to bring it out. There was always, yeah, they put the silver in the fire, they put the gold in it, but there was always the intent of bringing it back out. And the Lord, he does bring us into these places. He does surprise us. But when we're there, he's with us, and he brings us through the fire. If you find out, if you look into Job and find the very end of it, the Bible said his latter end was greater than his beginning. God restored everything. Matter of fact, most of it, he gave him twice as much as what he had. His children, he gave back the same number. But the animals and all of that, he gave twice as much as what he had. His friends came back to him, and everybody realized that things was better again. And his friends was back, and his family was back, and his latter end was better than his beginning. If you follow the three Hebrew children, right after that, the king calls them up out of the fire, and they come out of the fire, and he promotes them in the kingdom. Not only does he promote them, but rather he also promotes their God and says, anybody that speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said they're going to be killed, and their houses and their family and their belongings made a dunghill. So God's glory was brought about through those three Hebrew children going through that fire. The Lord allowed them to go through that, but he had a purpose in doing that, and he brought them through it. And things was better on that end than it was to start with. Same thing there with Mary and Martha. You think about what God did in their life, and Lazarus too. He showed up 4 days after Lazarus had died. Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. But he said, listen, he said, if you'll just believe, you'll see the glory of God. He said, thy brother shall rise again. And they said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. But he said, I am the resurrection. I'm the resurrection and the life. And so he went over there to where Lazarus was at, and he told him to roll the stone away. And Martha, I think it was, spoke up again and said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. Said, he's stinking by now. And he said, did I not tell you that if you'd just believe, you'd see the glory? And so he called and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth bound hand and foot. He said, loose him and let him go. But think about what God did. He said in the very beginning, this was not unto death, but that the glory of God might be revealed. What he did was is that he took this sickness that they had gone through and that Lazarus had gone through, and instead of showing up early and healing him, he waited till after he died and he raised him from the dead. Now, he could have gotten over there. He could have spoke the word. He could have spoke the word from where he was at, and Lazarus would have been healed. But when he did that, then somebody might have said, Jesus did that. And Mary and Martha might have testified. They could have believed that. Lazarus could have believed it too. If they come back over there later, and the disciples could have said, at this hour, Jesus spoke and said, you were healed. And then Mary and Martha would have said, that's the same hour that he got better. And they would have believed that. But a lot of people would have said, why, they wasn't nothing to that. The Lord wasn't nowhere around here. He wasn't even close. Lazarus got better. Something was wrong with him. He got better. He could have showed up. He could have laid his hands on him. And Lazarus could have got better. And it would have been a miracle. And it really wouldn't have been no harder for God to do that than him raising him from the dead. But somebody said, that's good and all, but we've heard of people being healed before. And we don't even really know if that's what this was Jesus. I think he was looking a little bit better anyway. I think he was about to get better. But now Jesus has come over and he's healed him. And so now he's getting all this glory. But I don't really know if this is enough to make me to believe that he is that prophet that the Bible said should come. That he is that one, that Son of God, that Messiah that we're looking for. And so he didn't show up. And he didn't show up right after he died. right after he died and lift him up from the dead. Somebody might have said, well, said, you know, Mary and Martha likes Jesus a whole lot, and Lazarus does too, and I wonder if this ain't just some kind of thing to try to make him look like he's something. The devil always, if he can bring any doubt towards God and Jesus being who he is, he'll do it anyway. But he waited 4 days after Lazarus had been in the bed, in the grave, 4 days. People had sat there with him, mourning with him. They knew that stone had not been unrolled. They knew Lazarus had been laying in there 4 days, hadn't nobody gone in or come out, but the stone had been rolled to that grave. And Jesus showed up and said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know when they did that? There was many people that believed on the Lord because of that miracle that day. Many. There were some that didn't, believe it or not, that went back and told the Pharisees what happened. But many people believed. And Lazarus kept on living after that. And some people would come just to see him. Just because he was dead and now he was alive. They just wanted to see him. And you know, it never did say that Lazarus preached a message and never said he was any kind of great evangelist. But what did he do? Well, all he had really to do was just live. Just his life alone was a testimony of what God did. And then Mary and Martha. And you look over, I think it's the very next chapter. Is when it's 6 days maybe before the Passover. And they're at a feast in Bethany. And Lazarus is sitting at the table. He's eating again. He's alive. He's doing good. Martha, she's back to serving. You find that. She's doing what she always does. She's serving again. But then Mary comes in and says she breaks open this real expensive box of spikenard and said she anoints his feet with it. And then she takes and wipes it with her hair and said the whole smell of that ointment filled the room. And Judas and them didn't like it. But anyhow, think about what brought about such love in Mary's life. Don't you think it had something to do with what just had happened about him raising her brother from the dead? Point being is this. The Lord brings us through the fire, but it's like Peter said, when we come forth, when we come forth out of it, we better for it. It's like trying gold. It works things out of us. And it brings forth, and he said it'll be found unto praise and honor and glory at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does bring us into it, but he's there with us in it. And then he brings us through it. He brings us all the way out of it. And the first song Brother Max sung this morning on the radio was that song that says, some through the fire, said some through the water, and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And certainly the Lord has done that in our lives. He's done that in the history of the church. He's brought the church through the fire, not just Antioch Church, but the church. And he allows us to come forth and be tried. But just know that he it is that brought us in, and he it will be that will bring us out. And he's the same one that's in there with us this morning. And so as I was sitting yesterday in my recliner and I read that, it just hit my heart there, those words, through the fire. And then I just flipped randomly in my Bible. And I read over there in 1 Peter where he was talking about, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange things happen unto you. But he said, rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Just know this, the Lord sometimes brings us into things and surprises us, but he's with us today. Why don't we come with a verse of a song?